There are some marvelous buildings in the world. As you look at this, this is the South China Mall. It's coming. It was built in 2005, and it was built to handle 100,000 visitors a day. Well, today it sits virtually empty with a 20% occupancy, was about the best they ever did, and it's called this New South China Ghost Mall. I spent 3 years in Cincinnati, and I never knew that this existed. But in 1920, they started the subway system for the city of Cincinnati. The Great Depression hit, and you can drive and see that standing just like it is today, and it's called the Great Embarrassment for Cincinnati. John Lennon was killed in 1980, and he left behind a numerous recordings and writings and musical things. And when the three Beatles reformed in the mid-90s, they produced two songs, Free as a Bird and Real Love, in studio and pretended that he had popped out for a moment. All things uncompleted. I'd imagine around your house, you've got some things that's not completed. There are some things you started with. Pat and I have this thing. She got some things from the ladies group center, Matt, and we were going to frame it, you know, put it up and hang it. So I got the pole and I got the twine. Today, I don't know where it's at. But we started it. But we never got it finished. The church at Philippi, if you will, turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. It was a church started by the Apostle Paul on his second trip there. He had a great relationship with them and loved them a lot. And they were a partner with him. They helped him in his ministry. And it was a great letter, a warm letter that he's written. But the problem with it is he wanted to make sure they remained strong. Look at verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Let's stop there for just a minute. They were partners together. We have partners with other people. Jason Laffin, who is our missionary, he'll be here next week to talk about the work there. And because of the coronavirus, everything is shut down. And so if you can be here to support him and listen to what they're doing. And he was led a mission trip for us. We partnered with him. We couldn't go. And that's what Paul was saying. He says, you were a church there at Philippi. You couldn't go with me, but you financially helped me and you prayed for me. And then he says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. He says, God has begun a good work in you. And for you, Christians, God has begun a good work in you. And what Paul was saying to them, the moment you accepted Christ, he began a good work in your heart, in your life. And that work was the forgiveness of your sins. He started you on the road as a part of the family of God. And he says, God has provided forgiveness. He provided the way and you accepted it. But the thing about it is, it's never a one and done deal. Christianity is not a one and done deal. If you're a believer this morning, you know, you can say, well, you know, I've done all the things that God asked me to do and Jesus said to do and I'm just ready to go. Well, that's not true. He wants more for you than that. He wants you to grow and develop. And the thing we have at First Christian Church is our whole theme is this. We want you to do three things. We want you to connect to God. That's the most important thing you can do ever because it affects all eternity. We want you to grow in Christ. That means you should be growing more like Christ each day. And the third thing we ask you to do is simply to serve other people. But here's the neat thing about it. God didn't leave us to do this on our own. Jesus says, when I ascend, the Holy Spirit will come and He's going to dwell inside of you. Do you know that if you're a Christian this morning, you have something that Moses never had? Abraham never had it? Nobody prior to Christ ever had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He's like Superman printed on your chest and He's there to encourage you and walk with you and to help you and teach you all kinds of neat stuff. to become more like Christ. That's who he is, and that's what he's going to do. He doesn't leave us without a helper. Now, here's a thought. It's not enough to believe we're expected to grow. I know a lot of people who raise their hand or have been baptized or, you know, whatever, who simply think, that's a done deal. I'm there. But God says, that's just the beginning. Jesus said this, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, this is what Paul says. I am convinced that God began a good work in you. And this is what he says. I'm convinced that God will bring it to completion. He's going to complete what he started. See, he starts with salvation. He says, and I want you to follow me and walk with me and become more like me. And Paul says, for you, young church, God's going to complete the work he started. It's not over. This is not, you know, this is just a journey, he says, and this is the journey you're on, and he's going to do that. And the thing about it is, God is not going to hang us out alone. See, sometimes I feel under siege. Do you this morning? My values, my morals, the things that I believe strongly in are all under siege. And sometimes it's overwhelming to feel that way. But to remember, God has got us this far. Let me read something from Vernon McGee that I think many of you can identify with. My friend, let me ask you this. Is this practical for you and me? I don't know what your circumstances are, but if you are a child of God, I am sure you can testify that God has brought you up to the present moment, hasn't he? And he has. Can't you look back over your life and see how he has led you and provided for you? Then why should you be concerned about tomorrow? Do you think that he's going to let you down now? God is saying, whatever I have in store for you, I'm going to see you through until the day of Jesus Christ. So we are in his hands. See, we can never forget who's in charge. Well, we're in chaos right now. Chaos in three different ways. But the thing about it is, God's still there. He's still sovereign. The good, the bad, and the ugly that pass in this life, he sees it all. He knows it all. God is much aware of what everything is happening, and nothing takes place that God doesn't permit. God's not surprised. He doesn't wake up and turn on CNN and think, oh man, what happened today? God says, I know that's going to happen. I know what's happening. He says, God has started a good work in you, and he is not going to give up until you die or Christ returns. He's going to continue to work in your life. Now, I'm confident that God has started a great work in the life of our church. A young couple moved down here with pure motives. They started a church in July of 1984. And it's grown, it's developed, and you're part of the life of our church. I'm confident it doesn't end. I am more confident today than I was 10 years ago that today is a great starting point. It's a transition point. It's a moving for us. And I want to suggest that we do two things. I want you to do the things we did in the past, and I want you to do some things in the future. There are three things I want you to hold to. First of all, I want you to continue to be a people of generosity. You're generous people. You've learned to tithe, you've learned to give, and you have a generosity within you. Of all the life of this church, I've never stood before you as a body and said, we have a special need that we need to be addressed. Will you help that you never helped? Basically, I never had to come and stand before you to ask for a need. The reason is your giving has always been such that we take care of needs as they come. And, you know, I wish I could share with you how generous you have been as a congregation to people, but I can't. There's just too many. And I want you to continue to be graceful and offer grace. I thought about it for a while and you know, how gracious you are. I've seen you in situations that I know you were uncomfortable with. But you offer grace to that person, to that individual. You were gracious in heart. You offered the grace of God to them. Continue to be gracious. Do it the way that God does it. And in the future, as we grow and develop and things change, we're going to have people that we don't know and don't know us. And we're going to offer grace when, you know, it's kind of hard for us. That's just who we're going to be. Now, here's the most important thing. If you don't have this, none of the other matters. You got to be people of the Bible. You got to be people of the Bible. And when people say, well, you know, we're a Bible-believing church, I mean, you got to believe it all. Every bit of it. It's God-breathed. And the one thing that I love about the Christian church and the Church of Christ Non-Instrumental is we are people of God's Word. We've always been that way. God says, it's God-breathed. This is who I am. I want you to be this way. Now, there's something else I want you to do in the future. I want you to do things differently and feel it's okay to be different. And never let it be said by you, well, what would Ron think? It doesn't matter what Ron thinks. Ron's not your pastor. What you need to say, not what would Ron think, but what is it that Tyler wants to see happen? How can I partner with Tyler to make these things take place? You know, we've seen a great change in our church in the last 6 weeks. We're streaming live. We talked about it in our leadership. And we talked about wanting to do it. But it was just a fleeting thought. Now you've changed. And we have family and friends and church body. Our brothers and sisters in Christ who have health issues, they're home today. And they're watching worship with us. They're part of our church family. That's the change that you never think about doing. But it's important that we make a change. It's okay to change how we do things, the method of reaching people. I can just see that we're going to do a lot more things with social media than ever before. I think we'll see a lot more streaming, and maybe they'll do some Sunday school classes and some special teachings because we're putting it all together. They are. It's okay to do things differently. You remember the Apostle Paul? Whenever he went to a place, he judged the audience and he spoke to them so that they would best understand. Tyler's going to come. And the leadership are going to be thinking, how is it that we can meet and minister to the people in Middle Georgia the best? And they're going to do it differently. And you know what? That's going to be a great thing. I want you to embrace change. Look at what Socrates had to say. The secret of change is to focus all of your energy not on fighting the old, but on building the new. You know what? I can identify with that. I've got to learn how to do something on the computer. Kevin won't be there every day to come and fix it for me. I mean, he just does it for me. Kevin, I don't know. I don't care how to do it. Just do it for me. I'm going to have to embrace the change because I fought the old long enough. And I can't survive without it. But enjoy it. Try new things. Just think for a second. How many stores do you know never change and their doors are locked today? Restaurants, why? They could never address the new generation. They were hooked in my generation for so long, they could never go back and have meals and menus and things that young people enjoy today. And I want you to embrace a new minister. I want you to love him and I want you to care for him. You know, we've done something totally different for our church in a lifetime. We've looked for a new minister. We never had a search committee before. And, you know, they worked so hard in doing this. This was a new thing for us as a congregation. First time in 35 years. I want you to do something for me. I want you to stand in just a minute, and we're going to pray for Tyler. We're going to pray for Jen, and we're going to pray for Macon. Will you stand with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I lift up you, Tyler, today and be with him as he stands in the pulpit of his church. And Father, I ask that you bless his message to them and you bless them as they're going through a transition as we will have went through. And Father, be with Tyler and may he be a man of your word. May he communicate it clearly to us. And Father, I ask your safety upon him as he travels. And Father, bring good men around him to support him and encourage him. And Father, I lift up Eugene, and I ask, Father, that you will bless her. And I know, Father, she's going to receive a great welcome here, as Pat did when we came. And Father, bless her. She is in transition. Father, we ask her that you'll help her do the things that she needs to do to feel secure and comfortable in her new home. And Father, be with little Macon. And Father, we ask that you'll bless him. And Father, he doesn't know it now, but this is a great place to grow up as a young man. Father, all of us in this building, we ask in the name of Jesus that you will answer our prayers. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Today is a very special day for First Christian Church. As Ron talked about in his message, it's actually an historic day for First Christian Church. Ron Nolan, we're celebrating him this morning. We're celebrating his wife, Pat, as well. 35 years of service here at First Christian Church. Years is a long time, and I know that there are many of you here that could share lots of stories, and we'll hear some of them hopefully today as we go through. But to be a senior minister at one church, that's really a long time, and we've been blessed to have you here with us, Ron. But in many ways, it's a bittersweet day. As Margaret was explaining earlier today, when I was in Ron's office with Pat, it is a bittersweet day because there's a lot of emotions involved in it, and Ron and Pat have been dedicated servants to this church. We will miss Ron's leadership. We will miss hearing him deliver the message every Sunday morning. But he's been a friend. We'll miss that. He's been a mentor. And he's been a pastor to this body of believers. And for many of you, he may well be the only pastor you have ever known. 35 years ago, Ron and Pat left Cincinnati Bible College and made the way from metropolitan Cincinnati to here in Middle Georgia in Perry, Georgia, and began ministering in this community. And Ron, we welcome you and Pat, your family that's with us this morning, and we're so thankful that all of you could be with us as part of this celebration. Thank you. First Christian has grown over these past 35 years. We're blessed here to have beautiful facilities. Anybody we ever brought in to talk to them about a youth minister job, a staff job of any kind, that was the first thing they always said. You all have beautiful facilities here. This came about through Ron's leadership, through dedicated prayer, and through the dedication and sacrifice of those that are sitting here this morning and those that have been here and come before us. I believe that this is a reflection on not only Ron, but each and every one of us. God is faithful to all who honor him and to a people that have been faithful to him. One quality, and I was thinking about this, Ron, as you were talking this morning, one quality that I've always admired about you was your loving heart. You love people, particularly people that are hurting, particularly people that have experienced a bump in the road, who have had maybe they had some issues that come up and they needed help. And Ron not only shared the message of Christ, he lived the example of Christ by helping and caring for others. And it would have been a real blessing to us as a church. Several years ago, Ron began talking with leadership, telling us it was time for him to step down and for us to find someone younger to become our senior minister. And as Ron also shared with you this morning, he made the process of finding a new minister very easy, very simple. It was smooth and seamless. He encouraged the search team and was always willing to say, hey, I can go sooner, I can stay longer, whatever you find. And Ron, we just thank you for your selflessness and putting the church's interest above your own. And that is a blessing that having walked through this, it is a real blessing to be able to say that to you. And we thank you for that. Valerie Deal has composed and put together a video that she wants to share with us this morning. So, Valerie.
Hello, church family. This is Valerie. As we all know, Ron has been our minister for 35 years. So, of course, for the next few minutes, we will be going way back. First Christian Church of Perry met for the first time on July 1, 1984. The church began through the initiative of David and Kathy Proctor, and it did exist for a time without the Nolan family, but not for long. In the summer of 85, the Nolan family, in their faithful little Toyota hatchback, came from Cincinnati to answer the call of an infant church in Perry, Georgia. Ron brought vision and tremendous energy to the task. Soon the congregation moved to larger facilities at Stanley Studio. In the meantime, they purchased 3 acres on Highway 41 north of town and started drawing up plans for a church building. The groundbreaking was in March of 1988. The young church was able to make these steps forward with the help and support of the Northwest Georgia Evangelizing Association, Mount Carmel Church Builders, First Christian Church of Carrollton, and Albany Christian Church, among others. And look, who knew? Ron had skills. Now, this was a joyous day, dedication day for our first very own sanctuary, which now serves as our youth center. Growth continued at a steady pace, leading to the addition of the Kids Zone in 1993. Then came a series of portables. The property was too small to put up a new building big enough to meet the needs. There was serious discussion of selling everything and starting over in a new location. Then God opened a door. 5 acres adjacent to the church property became available for purchase. The current worship center and nursery wing were completed in 2001. 2009 brought the addition of the administrative offices and the Connection Cafe. For years, Ron put all other needs ahead of his own and maintained his office space in a portable unit. At last, he moved into a nice new office and the last portable was hauled away. Earlier, I mentioned that First Christian Church began through the efforts of David and Kathy Proctor. Here they are now with a message.
Greetings from Kathy and David Proctor. It's hard to believe it's been 35 years since y'all accepted the call to ministry at the First Christian Church of Perry, and your family was suddenly transplanted from Cincinnati, Ohio to Perry in central Georgia.
For a senior pastor to stay with one church for 35 years is truly amazing. We are very proud of your ministry at First Christian Church, which has included preaching, teaching, counseling, landscaping, demolition, and semi-skilled construction labor, which you and many of us other church builders just barely survived. Only God's mercy kept us from the hospital and the grave. We hope God continues to bless you and your family richly as you enter your retirement years. Although we all know that a pastor only rarely retires, he simply continues working with little or no pay. But I hope you are able to get in some golf and fishing between the visits from the kids and grandkids. Goodbye, Ron and
Bye.
Pat. Congratulations.
Hey, good morning. This is Brandy. I've been a member of First Christian Church for 36 years. Soon after the church started, my grandparents joined and my family and I followed shortly after. Actually, Brenda Shivers and I are the only two people still here who attended First Christian before Ron was the minister. So I've known the Nolans for a very, very long time. I can remember the hours and hours Castina, Jessica, and my sister Carrie and I would spend playing outside in our backyards. I remember at first that there were only two or three of us kids in Sunday school being taught by my grandmary. And soon after Ron became our minister, we moved to Sally Stanley Studio for more space. All the kids from the church were in one big room upstairs with Pat as one of our teachers. And every Sunday morning, Ron and a few other men would set up tables and chairs for Sunday school. They would set up the pulpit, the communion table, and folding chairs for worship. And after the service, they had to break it all down and put it away in a storage room. I'll never forget how cool we all thought it was that our church had a wall of mirrors. It doubled the attendance. One particular memory that has stuck with me all these years is of Ron going around at a church dinner and cutting our spaghetti for us. That meant a lot to me. Ron certainly has been one of my biggest spiritual influences. His kids have been like built-in best friends, and so many of my life events have revolved around them. From Sunday school, to youth group, to VBS, to SCYC, to Woodland Christian Camp, and Christ in Youth. On a side note, one of my favorite memories with Castina is the first time I rode with her after she had learned to drive a stick shift. I literally feared for my life. Even though Ron tried to set me up with someone else other than Tim, when it came time for Tim and I to get married, there was no question as to who I wanted to perform that ceremony. I can remember when Castina and Pat were setting up for my wedding shower and how special they made me feel and all the great advice I got from both of them. And when I had Sean, they blessed me again with a baby shower. I wanted my kids to have some of the same experiences I had growing up at FCC, and I'm happy that it's worked out that way. Sean has had the great fortune of being really good friends with Colton, and we feel equally blessed that McKenna has found a wonderful friend in Hannah. It makes me smile knowing that my children have found built-in best friends at church, just as I did. Probably one of the main reasons I appreciate Ron and the rest of the family is how amazing they were to us when my mom died. Anybody who knew my mom knew that she and Ron had a unique and special relationship. He was an incredible source of strength during that difficult time. He and the Nolan family helped to make sure her celebration of life service was as amazing as she was. It's hard for me to see Ron step down as senior pastor because he's the only minister I've ever known. He has been like a second father to me, and I'm sad that this chapter is closing. But at the same time, I am truly happy for you, Ron and Pat, and happy that you'll still be here at FCC. May the Lord continue to bless you and your family, and thank you so much for all the memories and for being a part of my life.
I first got to know Ron shortly after he came to Perry. Brenda had been going to this little church called First Christian Church of Perry in a daycare center. And when they hired Ron to come in as the first full-time minister, he came to the house to visit, and we talked a little bit, and he was encouraging me to get involved in the church and join. Well, being the stubborn person that I am, I just kind of resisted that. So, you know, a few months later, Ron came back to the house, and I thought, well, this is going to be a repeat of the what we did at the previous visit. But he surprised me a little bit. What he did was told me that the church was going to field a softball team in the Perry Church League and wanted to know, did I want to play softball? For some reason, I decided to try it, and I told him yes. Brenda was shocked. Got to know him, got to know the other folks in the church. Ron kept encouraging me to make the move to accept Jesus and be baptized. He was a very good encourager, and that worked. That worked for me. So in May of 1986, Ron baptized me, and I joined the steering committee. And later, we decided to designate elect elders and deacons, and I was one of the first elders. Right after he baptized me and I joined the church, we were doing communion, and he encouraged me to take part in that. He would not ask me to do anything without helping me do that. So he gave me some things, some literature to use to develop some communion meditations. And I was at that time still very nervous about getting up in front of a crowd and speaking. But through his encouragement and through God's grace, I got over all of that. We started building the original worship center and educational wing, and Ron, Harold, and Dale, David Proctor, Rick Patella, and myself were there day and night working on that building. Got very, very close to all of them. And throughout the years, Ron continued to encourage me on everything that I did, including taking over as church treasurer. And he and I became very close during that time. And he became very much like a brother to me. We had private conversations where we talked about several different things, things that I knew if there was something that was bothering me, I could go to Ron and talk to him about it. And he knew the same about me. I only know Ron as the senior minister of First Christian Church, and it's going to be quite different to see him retire. And someone new coming in, because we haven't known anything but having Ron as senior minister. And Ron, to you, I really appreciate everything that you did for me and Brenda over the years. Love you, brother, Pat, and family. We love all of you. We watched the girls grow up and become fine young ladies. Barrett was born shortly after they came to Perry. And fine young man, great family, and we just appreciate everything that you've done for First Christian Church and for us personally over the years.
If you know me at all, you know this is not my thing. I'm so nervous. But I heard Ronnie, because I knew his story, but I heard him talking about it. How Ron was such an encourager to him, and it's true. I think he said you might not believe that he used to be so shy, but he was just that shy until Ron stepped in and became his friend, and he's encouraged him so much, and now he's become a leader in the church. He has been for ever since we started, really. He's a Christian husband and father. And I've always believed that God put Ronnie and me together. I really do. Ron, I would like to thank you for the difference that you've made in my life and in Ronnie's life. It's been a very big difference. And we love you. I get my $100 now.
Thank you, Valerie, very much for putting that all together for us, and we really, really do appreciate it. And for everyone that appeared on the video and shared their story, we thank you for that. It's very touching, and I know that Ron and Pat truly, truly, truly appreciate it. Hopefully some of you will have, in a few minutes, we'll give Ron a bag of some of the cards and notes that many of you wrote to them and for them. And if you didn't have the chance to do that, I encourage you to drop them an email, send them a snail mail, as they call it today. But I encourage you to do that, because I think it's important for Ron and Pat, but I also believe it's important for us to share what they meant to us. Most of you may not know this, but I'm going to share a secret about Ron. No, not on the golf course. I'm not going to do that. Trust me, Ron, I won't do that. But Ron always had a stash of candy in his office. And he would share it, you know, when people came in, we had a leadership meeting, or people were visiting and talking. He always shared the little candy with them. Well, it seems that over the years, our youth discovered that Pastor Ron had candy in his office. So they went and kind of participated with him in that, whether he was there or not. And he always left it out so they could get it. He always knew what was happening. They weren't pulling anything over on him, but he always did that and left that for him. And recently, in fact, it was the day that Tyler preached, one of the students, one of the youth, asked his parents. He said, that new guy seemed okay, but will he give us any candy like Pastor Ron did? Ron, would you and Pat please come up here? Perfect. Okay. We're going to start with Pat because we all have you all said, you had lots of stories on the tape. I'm not going to add anything to it, but being a minister's wife is probably one of the most difficult tasks in the world because you serve many masters. First of all, your husband is the pastor, your children are in the church, and you still need to be a sister in Christ. And I want to thank you, Pat, on a part of the church. You always did that with grace and love. Thank you. Thank you. That's a ceramic plate, and it's got the picture of the cross in the background that was put on the plate for Ron and Pat. So, no shrimp and grits in that, Ron. Ryan? Yeah, Brian's got a card from on behalf of all of us in the church. There's nothing in that, Ron. It's just a card. No. No. there's a check in there for you and Pat to go a vacation wherever you choose to go. I know you like Gatlinburg, you like the beach, but it may be someplace different. But on behalf of all of us, when you go, know that the church sends you in love, and we just thank you for that. Also in that bag is cards and letters from members of the body here, and just thanking you and just acknowledging what you've meant to them. In their lives. We just thank you, Ron. It's your turn.
Please be seated for a second. On a serious note, this is where God wanted us to be. And I was never happy until we went into the ministry and brought me great joy. But I've been struggling with something, and I want to share it with you. I had in my mind that I was going to be able to play golf all the time with my grandson, Colton. And we got on the 14th hole, and he says, "Paul, can we play with some other people so there'll be some competition?" He's over. Castaneda, if you'll pay, I'll take him. But that's the only way he's going with me. And I have a friend, Willie, at Centerville, and we were talking about all the great things I was going to do on vacation and while retired. And Pat was listening to the conversation, and she says, "Ron," she says, "you and I need to have a talk." And she says, "So you get it right, I wrote you a note." And let me share what she said. She says, "All chores have to be done by Friday noon. I'm not shifting them to me on Saturday. I'm not doing them." And she says, "My granddaughter, Mary, pointed out in the shrubbery, we don't have one flower. Can you take care of that?" And normally I just do the washing, but she gave me an order. She says, "I want you to take my best whites and I want you to wash them and hang them up. I take my best colors, wash them and hang them up. And then," she says, "we'll do the other whites by themselves and then the colors." And she says, "By the way, when it comes to your stuff, just throw it all in the laundry. Do it all together because you're not going anywhere anyway." And she says, "You got to get with the menu. Hamburgers and hot dogs are not going to cut it." But what really threw me off a little bit was I was talking about Kenny back here, and he's married to Heidi, and Kenny says, "Well, when I'm retired, I do anything I want to do, when I want to do it, and spend as much money as I want to spend." And I checked with him this morning. He said, "That's not exactly how it is." And Pat looked at me, and she said, "Well, you're not married to Miss Heidi, and you don't live in their house, so we're going to do it my way." And guys, she said that word, young people, that you and I never want to hear: allowance. She says, "I'm giving you $20 a week and don't spend it all in the same place." Well, that didn't, you know, that kind of bothered me a little bit, but I had something this week that just threw me off. It was about 10 to 8 on Wednesday morning, and I heard the doorbell ring, and I went out here at the Connection Cafe, and there was a guy who had yellow hair sticking straight up. He was 6'5 and looked about 250 pounds. And I started to pull the coronavirus on him and say, hey, you can't come in. And he had a bicycle beside him. And I opened the door and says, can I help you? And he went, I am freezing to death. And he had shorts on and a coat and he was shaking. Well, what do you do? I says, go around and come through the door here. Cause, you know, I said, we've got to keep our distance now. You know that. I didn't want him to, you know, jump on me. So I used the virus thing and I count it as a good thing. So we put him over in the thing that I did and I was talking to him and I couldn't leave him. And I heard somebody come through the Connection Cafe and I says, Jacob! And no one answered. And I thought it was Jacob. So I moved over and looked and there come Lee. And Lee says, I'll call you in a minute. And out the door he went. Well, he never called me for about 3 hours. And I was really taken back by it. And then Jacob came and we did, you know, we went and got him some pants and got him a place. And as Jacob and I was talking to him, I says, what are you doing here? He said, well, I left Titusville to ride all the way to Michigan to visit my mom, who's 86 years old. And he's been on the road about 4 or 5 weeks. He says, it's a lot of mountains down here. He came out of Florida. I went, you haven't seen anything yet. So we talked to him. He says, you know what? I'm 60 years old and I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. I said, what's your name? What do you think his name was? Ron. I said, God, are you sending me a sign? And I didn't know if it was or not. And then I kept wondering why my friend Lee never called. This was 6'5", 250 pounds, what he looked like. Hair straight up. I said, Lee, when he called, I says, what happened? He says, I was hungry. I went home to eat breakfast. And I thought to myself, I said, so you knew that physically I could take this dude if he jumped me. He said, no, I wasn't thinking about that at all. I said, what were you thinking? But he says, hey, Tyler's coming in 3 weeks. What have we got to lose? Guys, we're going to be around. We're going to be your family for a while. And Pat, come on, honey. We will be a Dr. Phil. At the end of Dr. Phil's show, what does he do? Grabs the wife. Come on. And goes.
Actually, the guy was 5'8 and 150 pounds, but we